The scriptures for today are on the screen before you. There's two passages I'd like to focus on this morning. And they're coming from today's New International Version of the Bible. The first passage is from Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." And then a little later, Jesus says these words to his disciples and those listening, and from chapter 25, verse 31 to 40. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep and goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom, prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' And then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or a prisoner and go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today we're on the fourth Sunday of our five Sunday sermon series based upon Robert Snaysey's book, The Five Practices of Fruitful Living. And during these 4 weeks, we've been trying to cultivate fruitfulness as disciples of Jesus Christ and learning what the different practices are to help us grow as disciples, to help us mature as spiritual followers of Jesus Christ. We've looked at, you know, hospitality, and we've looked at worship, and last week we looked at faith development. This week we're looking at something called risk-taking service and mission. Risk-taking, loving one another through risk-taking service and mission. The question that comes to mind this morning is why? Why do people serve others? You ever thought about that? Why do people get up on a Saturday morning and go to a local food pantry to help distribute food to the hungry when they could just as easily go play golf, or just as easily lay in bed, or just as easily wash the car, or whatever? Why do people spend their Thursdays working at the thrift shop? Why do people give their time, their effort, their energy, yes, even their money, to serving others? Why is that? Because, you see, it's counterintuitive to us. We are all about self-preservation. It's not natural for us because we all have responsibilities. We have our families to take care of, don't we? We have our own things, our hobbies, our interests, things that we enjoy doing. We have our homes to take care of, and we have so much that keeps us self-focused. Our instinct is self-preservation, to take care of our own. So why do people get involved with serving others, giving their time for others? Well, Snaysey brings up three very important reasons why some people serve others. The first one is that it helps the fabric of human life. It helps the social fabric of human life. And I've got a picture of a tapestry here. This is just something I grabbed off of Google Images. This is a crown, and it's a tapestry. But when you flip it over, if you've ever seen the backside of a tapestry, what do you see? It's just a jumbled mess of threads and strings that's not very attractive, is it? But they're all connected in some way on the back of this tapestry. The point I'm trying to make here is that our coexistence is intertwined with one another. We are part of the human family. We are all connected together. As someone once said, we're all in this boat together. We are all part of the human, we're one race. We're part of the human race. And our lives are intertwined whether we realize it or not. There's somewhat of an unspoken contract with those who have the desire and the call to serve. Look what happens in times of natural disaster or catastrophes. People rush into burning buildings to save total strangers. Why do they do that? Because it may be our house the next time there's a fire. We need to be willing to give our lives for others, to lose our lives, as Jesus says, to help others. It's a somewhat of a quid pro quo, to use a Latin term. You know, helping one another. What's good for you is good for me. And there's somewhat of a trade-off, knowing that we care, that some people care for one another. 9/11 was probably the greatest example of selfless giving and serving. Look how many people rushed into those buildings, the firefighters and policemen and ordinary citizens like you and I, trying to help others get out of those buildings and get out of that debris. Why did they do that? Because we're all part of the human family. He says the second reason is personal satisfaction. Some people, because they are part of a mission or a ministry or a charity or some other serving institution or serving group, get a great deal of satisfaction out of helping others. Pat and I sponsor a child through Compassion International, and I know some of you do too. It gives us a great deal of satisfaction knowing that little Ligia down in Ecuador is getting enough to eat, that she's getting school clothes, that she's getting supplies through the meager amount that we send down there every month. It gives us satisfaction that she's being cared for. When you see a Habitat for Humanity house going up and you were part of those unpaid volunteers that went into putting that house up, doesn't it give you some sort of satisfaction? Or whatever charity or whatever service that you're providing or being a part of, it should give us personal satisfaction. That's why some people serve. Some people serve out of a sense of duty, obligation, and responsibility. There are numerous scriptures in the Bible that talk about the importance of loving one another. Jesus gives us this very vivid example of how we will be judged when the king returns. And the judgment is, ironically, based on how we treated the poor, how we minister to the sick, the prisoners, the strangers, those who are naked, without clothing. The criteria is how we served one another, through faith in Jesus Christ, of course. It is not a works mentality, it's not a works righteousness, but Jesus is telling us that part of that judgment will be how we served one another. Jesus said, when you did it to one of these, you did it to me. Some people say that because Jesus told us to do it, that's why I do it. They feel called by God to serve and to help others. The essential truth today, folks, here is our lives are interconnected and we discover ourselves through serving. Did you know that? We discover ourselves, our true selves, through serving others. Listen to a couple of scriptures that I found to help support this. Paul writes in Romans 14, "For we do not live to ourselves alone, We do not live to ourselves alone, and we do not die to ourselves alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. You see, we are no longer our own, but thine. Our lives are not our own. They belong to God. And we do not live to ourselves, Paul says, but to the Lord. Jesus said it himself in Matthew 20 that I shared with the children this morning. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? To serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus was all about sacrifice, giving himself for others. That is the example that Jesus has given us. And then in Mark, Jesus says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. That's a very hard statement to get our minds wrapped around, isn't it? But what Jesus is saying is that if you want to live to yourself, if you want to be focused on your own life and your own ways and your own self, you're going to lose. You're going to lose that life. But if you give if you give your life to me and for the sake of the gospel, you will have life and you will save your life. If you lose, give up your life. Give up your comforts. Give up your, I'm not saying we should give up all of our comforts, but our focus being on others instead so much of ourselves, then we will truly discover what life is all about. And we will learn what it really means to be fully human.